Glory to God. Well, welcome to Family Church, the Saturday night Corey edition. Glory to God. Well, I'm excited to be here. You know, and I just want to tell you, you know, sometimes, you know, on a Saturday, especially in an evening service, you have all day, and you might not feel as stirred up and as fresh as you are in the morning. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to stir myself up tonight. You know, I've been stirring myself. I was doing that during worship, and I'm stirred up now. But I want to be more into it. You know what I mean? I want to be more stirred up because the Bible says that when those who come hungry and thirsty, they're the ones who leave filled. Amen. And so, because I came here hungry, I'm going to leave filled. I came here thirsty, I'm going to leave filled. Amen. Because God's He is a doer and performer of His word. He's always good to His word. He always does what He says He was going to do. Amen. And I just believe Him for it. And I'm so thankful for that because, you know, there's so many times when it doesn't feel like you want to be a Christian. There's so many times where you don't necessarily want to do what's right. But praise the Lord, we don't have to feel it. I just love that the Word taught me, that somebody taught me this, that it's in the Word, that you don't have to go by your feelings, but that we go by what the Word says. Because if we always went by our feelings, man, doesn't that get us in a heap of mess and in a quick moment, amen? It doesn't take very long to get us into a lot of trouble when we just follow our feelings, amen? I would be willing to bet that most people that are in jail, or there's a lot of people in jail that are in there because they were led by their emotions and not by the truth, amen? Praise the Lord. So we're thankful for the Word of God around here. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for this message tonight. You know, I was thinking about preaching one way. And then this morning as I woke up, I had a message on my heart as I came out of sleep. And I always love it when the Lord does that because especially when you come out of sleep, because your whole day can be based around it then. Amen. And so I put the message together as the Lord directed, and I'm excited for it tonight. But the message tonight is called Aborting the Plan. Praise the Lord. Aborting the plan. Well, there's two people excited about it. Praise God. Well, don't worry. I'm not going to try to hammer you tonight or anything like that. But we are going to talk about the plan of God. Amen. And we know Jeremiah 29:11. We love that scripture around here. It's one of the scriptures that we love to stand on and we talk about every week. Praise the Lord. And Jeremiah 29:11, in case you didn't know, says, "For I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Praise the Lord. And that's the New King Jimmy version. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we know that, you know, when God has thoughts, that word thoughts is actually the word thoughts and plans. And it makes sense because our God doesn't think just random thoughts, you know. The one that told us to be careful of our thoughts, He's not just thinking thoughts that don't matter. So God thinks He has plans for us, amen? But just because God has a plan for humanity doesn't mean that people are going to walk in the plan. You can abort the plan, and we know this because we've seen it all through Scripture. All through Scripture, we see people who either followed the plan or didn't follow the plan, and as a result, they either walked in the blessing of God or they went without the blessing of God. Amen? Now, those who went without the blessing of God, they always tried to blame it on things like, well, you know, I don't know if I believe all that kind of stuff. That's what humanity has always done. But you know something? Those who have walked in the plan of God and have been blessed by the plan of God, those people, you can't tell them otherwise. Amen. My wife and I are two people who have learned. Now, we're not perfect, and I'm not saying that. But I'm not even remotely close to that. Amen. But as we learn to walk, as somebody taught us to walk out, seek the plan of God, and then walk that plan out, we have been blessed in our life. Increasingly so. And when I mean blessed, I mean in every area of our life. There's not an area of our life that God has not touched and has not done something for us for. And I'm just so thankful for that. Praise the Lord. So we're going to start in Scripture here. Amen. We're going to start back there in Isaiah. Praise the Lord. Isaiah, right before Jeremiah. We're going to go all the way back to Isaiah 1 and verse 19. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done in my life. Amen. Now, some of you don't know me or don't know me very well, so you wouldn't know what I came out of, but I came out of a mess of a life. Amen. I say this often, and I'll say this again. One of the things that I love what the family churches have put into us through the Word of God is stability. Stability is the most important. I was a very unstable person, and God is a God of stability. And Christians should be people of stability. Amen? Praise the Lord. Stable people. When you look at a Christian, most Christians today, or a lot of Christians today, are not stable people. They're very unstable people, and it's kind of a shame because it speaks about our Heavenly Father. Amen? But Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing, and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen? If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Notice there's two things there. There's willingness, but then there's obedience. You can be a willing but not be obedient. Praise the Lord. You know, it's very important for us to understand this. This is a concept that is not just found here in this scripture, but it is found all through scripture. Willingness and obedience. God, most Christians, when they pray to God, they say, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. This is what I think should happen. Bless it. And that's where they go wrong, because God is not seeking to bless your plans. God blesses his plan. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be willing and obedient in some things and not other things. And this is important for you to realize. Some people can be willing and obedient to come to church, but not to serve. Some people can be willing and obedient to be a good friend, but not a good spouse. Some people can be willing and obedient in serving, but not giving. Some people can be willing, you know, it doesn't matter. You just pick your area. Some people can be willing and obedient in prayer, but not in the word. And see, in any of these areas, if all these areas that are important to God that the scripture talks about over and over and over again, if we're not willing and obedient in all of them, then we can lose out from what God has for us. Now, I love this scripture because it says, you know, it talks about the willingness and obedience. There's the direction, which is important to us. But the second part of it is, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen? Now, this is something that some of us may not understand. You know, the Bible, there's a lot of metaphors in Scripture that are geared towards, you know, like farming and stuff like that. And that's because that was the bulk of that society. Whether they were, you know, they had herds of sheep or, you know, whatever they did, there was some form of farming. So people understood that. They understood what the good of the land is. But, you know, we have to understand that too. Too, as it applies to our society. Amen. Eating the good of the land today, well, there's a lot of things that could apply to. Amen. There's a difference, you know, my wife and I, we talk about restaurants just because we're in ministry and we travel around so much that we actually end up eating out a lot. Amen. And don't you know that there's a difference between a $10 meal and a $50 meal, a lot of times, amen? Now, when we leave here, often we stop and get something to eat because we wait to eat dinner till after service. Just helps us that way. But, you know, when you're leaving here, there's not a whole lot of options in Corey at, you know, when we get out of service. There's not a whole lot of options for the good of the land, amen? And so we kind of have to eat snarf sometimes, and sometimes we pay for that. But you understand that eating, there's a big difference between the good of the land and the okay of the land, amen? There's okay, you know, McDonald's is good in a pinch, but you can't live on it, amen? If you try to live on it, you're not going to look so good, you're not going to feel so good, amen? Praise the Lord. God wants us to eat the good of the land. That's what he intended. He wants us to be blessed in every area. When you go to work, he wants your work to be blessed. Yeah, because, see, you don't understand. See, God wants your town to be blessed. Amen? Wherever you live. Now, maybe you live in Corey. If you live right in Corey, if you live on the outskirts, it doesn't matter. But God wants blessing there. Why? Because you can't eat the good of the land if nobody else is. Praise the Lord. If you have a business, how is your business going to prosper if nobody can afford to come to it? But see, God wants it that way. Because God isn't just thinking about the dollar amounts and stuff like that, but God's thinking about blessing. He's always thinking about blessing his people, because when I can bless my people, then they can go out and be a blessing to others. See, that's the will and the desire of the Lord. Be a blessing to others. It's not just, you know, just see what you can heap up for yourselves. God doesn't mind you having things or whatever, but that's not what God is after. He wants you to eat the good of the land, but he wants you, it's a testament to a father when the children are eating the good of the land. Amen. If you saw me and I roll up in my Porsche and I had my nice clothes on, I don't have a Porsche, by the way, but I'm just saying, if I had a Porsche, you know, I rolled up in my nice car and here I come out in my, you know, my $3,000 designer suits, and I had my $8,000 shoes on and my $10,000 socks on, praise the Lord. And I got out of this car and I got my kids out of the, do Porsches have back seats? I guess some of them probably, let's pretend for the sake of argument that they do tonight. But so I pull my kid out of the back seat of the Porsche, and you see them, and they're filthy, and they're wearing ripped up clothes. They're obviously hand-me-downs from somewhere, 10 sizes too big. And you know what I'm saying? What does that say about the father? You'd look at that father and you judge me. Amen? Well, what do you think people do to God all the time? When people think that God wants them defeated, wants them without, wants them to just be lost, wants them to whatever. You're going through this trial, this. I'm talking, there are trials in life that test us. I'm not saying that. But, sickness and disease or consistent poverty or any of these things. God doesn't want these for his children. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. You can get all this out of one verse, Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot in the scripture that talks about this. Whenever you see God's blessing on people, it included a well-rounded blessing. It gave them the best jobs. God said that you would be surrounded with favor as with a shield. Praise the Lord. Do you know what favor is? Favor is when you walk in the restaurant, they say, hey, we got the best table right for you. Favor is when you go into the store to buy a new pair of jeans, and they're like, the jeans that you wanted, the ones you really wanted, are on sale and are cheaper than the cheap ones that other people are buying. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. The favor of God rests on you. We've had favor when we've gone places. We're like, oh, here's a 2-for-1 ticket for the amusement park or something like that. Things you weren't expecting. That's the favor of God. Hallelujah. The favor of God is, the Israelites, when they walked through the wilderness, that they went 40 years and their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothing didn't wear out. That's the favor of God. Hallelujah. See, the favor of God rests on the children of God. Amen. And that's exactly what he wants for us. Praise the Lord. So all of this, though, and we have to understand this, is found in God's plan. It's not found in our plan. And this is where so many people miss it. It's because they're out seeking God, or they're seeking their own plan, and they don't realize the whole time that God's blessing is only found in his plan. God's blessing is not found in your ideas. You're not gonna think up a great thought and then have God consult you. Right. See, so many Christians, they want God to consult them, but that's not what God wants to do. God wants you to consult him. What's his plan and how do you get into it? Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's what we endeavor to do around here. We endeavor to continually help people find that plan, because each one of our plans are going to be a little bit different. Yeah. Now, there's some similarities, but they're all different. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me real quick to Jude 1:5. This is toward the back of the Bible. Jude 1:5. Hallelujah. There's actually only one chapter in Jude, so it's just Jude 5. Amen. And it says here, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Wow, that's a pretty heavy scripture. So he saved them out of the land of Egypt. He saved them from their captivity. He saved them from their slavery. He saved them from their oppressors. He brought them out in miraculous ways, showed them mighty signs and wonders. God did this for those people. He sent Moses to them. You remember Moses came in and said, Pharaoh, let my people go. And there was great signs. There was plagues that came on the Egyptians. And he gave Moses a staff. And this staff, he parted the Red Sea. And these Israelites walked across the Red Sea on dry ground, praise the Lord. They walked across on dry ground. They had these, God sent food for them. They woke up in the morning and there was food on the ground. Praise the Lord. Those same people that did not believe, he destroyed. Praise the Lord. That's what it says, right? It says, I want to remind you that you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. He wasn't going to take it. He's like, listen, if you, after all this, you're not going to believe me, you're not going to get anything. This is New Testament. They wrote this in here for a reason, to remind us of something. The Israelites, though they were saved, they found destruction because they lost their place of belief and trust in the Lord. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. See, belief also lines up with willing and obedience, because if you really believe God and at his word, you're going to do what he says to do. Why? Because you'd be afraid not to. You wouldn't want to. Why would you want to go without? Why would you want to forego the blessing of the Lord? You understand, when we understand that Scripture has to be understood, you have to understand Scripture through the light of Scripture. You have to understand God through the light of the Word. word. And so when you see scriptures, you understand that God allowed things to happen, that God wasn't specifically sending lightning bolts down to kill them, but he allowed things to happen in their lives because they wouldn't be obedient. They weren't willing and obedient. And so what he had promised to them, they weren't going to walk in. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go back and we're going to look at this. And I want to start in Exodus, because the Bible gives us an example. So we need to go see what the example is. Amen. So go back to Exodus 3. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, the whole Bible is written for our help, to bless us, to teach us, to keep us on the right course. And if that's a place that you have to be willing and obedient. Yeah. You have to be willing and obedient to go to the house of the Lord, to hear the pastor preach, to get the word. See, we don't do this just because it's a club. It's a some people, church is just a Sunday club. That's what a lot of people look at church. It's a Sunday club. They don't get anything. They don't plan on getting anything. They just go because it's what they do. It's what they've always done. It's what grandma did. It's what grandpa did. So we're going to do it too. But that's not no, you have to go expecting. Yeah. See, when we come to church, we have to understand that we should expect that something's going to happen. Yes. We expect, because it's only those who believe that expect. And only those who expect believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we want to expect that God's going to move on us, that he's going to do something. There's a reason this word was written, and it isn't so we can sit around and hear stories all day. Amen? This word was written to change our lives, to put us in a place to be in the will and the plan of God, so we can be blessed, so we can live a blessed life, so we don't have to succumb to the whims of the devil or the ways of the world, so we don't have to be wrecked and destroyed everywhere we went. Amen? God wants us blessed. He wants us set free. But just like the Israelites, we have to be willing and obedient. So Exodus 3:7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and all the Jebusites. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All those names, all those ites, it's all of them. He's come down to that land. He's given it to his people. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression of them, or oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, he's talking to Moses, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, why did I read all those scriptures? Because I want you to see something. First, God says, this is what I'm going to do. The second thing he says I'm going to do is I'm going to use a man to do it. Amen? Now, when I say a man, I don't mean just a man. I mean mankind. That's what he's after. God doesn't hate women. He uses women too. Amen? He uses women. Actually, he uses women probably more than men, because a lot of times men are so stupidly stubborn that they don't get into the plan of God like they should. How do we know that? Because the biggest population of church people is women. Where are the men leading the households? Men should be leading their households. Now, that doesn't mean that men should be King Kong in their houses, bashing their wives and kicking them into submission and stuff like that. That is not what Scripture's talking about. But what it means is that somebody has to stand up and take that place and say, this is what me and my household is. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And so that's we need to see that, but we don't see that as much. So God does use women, and he uses them a lot, and he uses them in mighty ways. Amen? But we see God come down. He says, this is what I'm going to do. I've come down to help my people. Okay, but now is God doing it himself? Absolutely not. He's using a man, and he uses Moses. We all know the story, and if you don't, well, we'll get you caught up later on. But he used Moses, a man, to do the work of the Lord. Why? Because God has ordained the work on this earth to be done by mankind. I said God has ordained the work on this earth to be done by mankind. Guess what? If you are a man or a woman, you fall into that category of mankind. Hallelujah. God has ordained you to do the work of the Lord. You know, one of the jobs of the pastor is to teach people, to prepare them for the work of the ministry. Now, this kind of trips some people up. It's not saying that you're all going to pastor. It doesn't say that you're all going to preach. It doesn't say that you're all going to do any of that stuff. But what it means is you're going to go out and you're going to be ministers for the Lord. Christians, there is more to your life than what you do on a daily basis. Or there should be. Because Jesus didn't save you so you could just be a Christian sitting at home and believing in the Bible and talking to God once in a while and then just living your own life. God has saved you for good works, amen, to do something good. Now, you can't do good works if he's constantly removing from you. You can't do good works if he's constantly beating you down. We said this before. Churches close their doors because they can't afford pastors, because they can't afford the bills anymore. God has equipped the people to take care of that. Now, I'm not saying that every church that closed just because of the people. Sometimes it's because they were teaching bad things and stuff, or weren't teaching the right things, you understand. But God, he wants to help us, amen? God is not against us. He's not working against us. He's not like every time we get a leg up, he's trying to knock us down. That's foolishness. It's foolishness, but Christians believe this garbage. We're not going to be those people, though, amen? Praise the Lord. So we see that he uses a man. He wants to use a man. But then we also see the man come to a moment where he's like, how can I do this? You know, Moses, in some ways, I'm not going to compare myself to Moses. I will compare myself to Moses on the standpoint of stuttering and not being able to talk real well. And that's the way Moses was. He wasn't so sure of his oratory ability. Amen. And that's exactly the way I was when somebody told me I was going to be a pastor. Amen. I wasn't sure how I was going to do it because I was deathly afraid of standing in front of people and talking in front of people. It still tries to get on me sometimes, but I don't care anymore because I'm going to follow the plan of God. Amen. But you see, Moses struggled with it here, and that's important for us to understand. The plan of God sometimes is going to make you struggle. Actually, I will say this, the plan of God will always make your flesh struggle. Yeah. Always. If it isn't making your flesh struggle, then it isn't the plan of God. And how can I say that and be so sure? Because the Bible tells us that the spirit, which is on the inside of us, wars against the flesh, which is all this, amen? So if all this is bothered, then it means that God's trying to do something on the inside here, amen? Praise the Lord. But we see God take care of that. See, and this is what the Bible says. When the Bible says crucify the flesh. Now, there are so many goofy religions that they come up with ideas. They see things in the Bible. They take them out of context. And then they wonder why they can't get anything right. I've seen this one kind of Christian religion over in some country far away, praise the Lord, far, far away over there on the other side of the world. And one of the things they do, they have a yearly festival where they crucify, like they take a person and they literally drive nails through their hands and tie them to a cross. The people volunteer to do this, but they do this as some kind of, like it's some kind of religious act, like it's blessing God. It doesn't bless God. God doesn't want people hanging up on crosses. Jesus did, so we don't have to. When the Bible says to take up your own cross and follow him, it's to crucify the flesh. It means that the things that your flesh always wants, you're not going to always give it to it. Amen? And this, we have grown up churches in this country that are teaching people that it's okay, let's give your flesh anything you want. Praise the Lord. I'm just gonna be honest with you. They're gonna say we can still drink because God's given us all this freedom. Well, you see all this stuff when you read all the scripture about what alcohol does to a person, and you don't even have to look at scripture to see what it does to. Look at the alcohol culture, the drug culture. It's all based in the same place. Praise the Lord. You got churches that are out there accepting homosexuality, saying that this is right. This is of God. This is what God wants. It's not what God wants. The Bible tells us exactly the opposite. Praise the Lord. So you got Christians who are doing wrong. They're partying, doing all these things. And they're trying to do it under the guise of grace, like grace covers it all. But grace was not meant for us to just do whatever we want. Grace was to help us when we weren't able to get into that plan on our own. Grace was there to give us that boost into it. Grace is a step stool to put us in the plan of God. Grace is maybe some people it's the chairlift, or it's the elevator, or it's rocket, whatever you want to call it, but it's to help you get from where you couldn't be to where you are. It is not something so you can do whatever you want to do and just live the life you want to live. God wants us blessed. He wants us happy, but he also wants us to do something for his kingdom. And Christians that aren't doing anything for the kingdom of God aren't very good Christians. How do I know that? Well, I just want to ask you this. If you were a father, I can speak of this because I'm a father, and all you did was lay around all the time. You never went to work. You never helped your family. You never did anything. Are you very useful for that family? How good of a father are you if you don't take care of your kids? You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. You know, when I read a scripture in Mayville last week about, walked by the field of the lazy person. And I received instruction. Walked by the field of the lazy. Why? It was overgrown. It wasn't taken care of. Not a very good farmer, one that doesn't take care of his or her fields, right? Praise the Lord. Their crops. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we have a person very successful in the family church. Is a very successful a farmer, and if you go to his property, everything is well maintained and just taken care of. It's grapes, mostly grapes. It's grapes and cherries and all that stuff. And he has a huge juice business and ships juice all over the world. Praise the Lord! But you know that everything takes care of things, and you know that it does what he's supposed to do. Amen. But see, with people. And people, Christians, they're not doing anything for Christ. They got a question. You got to question yourself. Jesus did not die so that we could sit around and be stale. He didn't die so we could sit around and just figure out whatever we want to do. We are not placed here to just spend our life figuring out who the heck we are and what we're supposed to do. He gave us an instruction manual to tell us so we would know. So it would be easier for us to get in there, and as we go, and as the Satan tries to oppose that, we can go back to this and say, no, this is my direction. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. So we see that God wanted a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, people do this with churches. People want churches that will have 10-hour worship services and then a 15-minute message. But you people leave, and you wonder why the people leave, and they're still not helped. It's because it's the preaching of the word that changes lives. It's not the worship service. The worship service is not meant to... Some people come to church, they're like, well, I don't like that music. Well, the music isn't there for you to like it. It's there to prepare you to worship God, to understand, to get into that place for the ministry to flow so the things of the word can be taught, so people can be changed, so people can be helped. They wonder why people... You can't be helped in a 12-minute sermon. You can't be helped that way. Amen? Praise the Lord. You need a 4-hour sermon. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't have that anointing yet, but maybe we'll get there someday. Amen. That was a joke in case you didn't know. Amen. Okay, so we see God wants to take his people where? He wants to take them out of oppression, out of bondage, out of slavery, out of being overworked. This is the desire of the Lord to take you from being overworked. Yeah, amen. And put you in a place... Do you know that? I want to say this, and I believe by the Spirit, but God's plan is not for a single mother to be working 15 jobs just to try to make ends meet. That's not the blessing of the Lord, and that's not the direction of God. And anybody who thinks it is, they serve a God that is disgusting. I'm just going to tell you right now, I won't serve a God who wants a struggling mother to be in poverty. I won't serve a God who wants to put sickness and disease on people. Yeah, you can serve that God, but I'm not going to. Amen. So God wants to take him to a land flowing with milk and honey. All right, so we understand that. Now let's flip over to Numbers. Praise God. Numbers 13. And we're going to see this. Numbers 13. Glory to God. We're going to start at verse 25. Amen. We're going somewhere here, being taught the word, but we're going to see how it applies to us. Amen. And they returned. Now, the Israelites, God had moved them through Moses and led them to the place of the land flowing with milk and honey. He said, this is the land that I'm giving to you. And then God told Moses, send out spies into the land and tell them to spy out the land and see if it isn't everything I told you it was going to be. Right? So that's what they did, right? They went out. And so we pick it up here in verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So they're out there a while. Listen, the land took a little bit of time to get around. Amen? They had to look at everything. They had to take notes. They had to see what God wanted for them. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran. At Kadesh, I guess. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. And they brought back the fruit. Amen? Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Isn't that what God told Moses? Yeah. He told him the land he was sending him to, right? Yeah. He said, I ain't lying, Moses. I'll tell you what's there. Yeah. This is what's there. It's going to be a good land. But how many know that something good is not going to go unopposed by the devil? If God wants you to get into something good, it's not going to go unopposed. And if it does, it probably isn't of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Where was I? Verse 29. Hallelujah. So verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people. Caleb was the only one that had any sense. Well, Caleb and Joshua, right? Had any sense before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we are well able to overcome it. So we see the plan of God, they took time to find out what the heck the plan of God was in the first place. And then they got to the place where they found out the plan of God. So then they go through all these amazing, this amazing journey to get there. And they get to the plan of God. Here it is. And he said, go in and take it. And they said, and they're starting to give reasons why they can't. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Yeah. What did the people do? They put their stock in what they could do and not what God could do. They put their stock in who they were and not who God is. They put stock in what they thought and not what God said. See, people still do this today. The word of God is written and it's very clear. This is what you do. This is what you have. This is what I got for you. But people put stock in what the doctor says instead of what God says about it. Wow. They'll put stock in what their paycheck says instead of what God says about the blessing of the Lord. Yeah. They'll put stock in all kinds of things, anything but what God says. Yeah. They're still doing it today. Praise God, hallelujah. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. Now see, they start talking about all the reasons why they can't get in there, right? They're starting talking about everything that's against them, right? They're starting to build up the situation. Are you following me? They're building up the situation. They're saying, this is why we can't. They're not talking about why God said they could. They're talking about why they can't. You understand, people still do that today. In fact, the church is full of people going around saying what they can't do. People don't want to hear what God said you can do. They want to hear what Sister Bucketmouth says you can't do. Praise the Lord. All they want to do is get into the trials. They want to soak up their misery instead of just believing the word at the word. Just believe God at his word. Amen. God said something, and it's time for his people to start going into it. But you know something? God has promises for this time. He has promises for this group of people. I mean, the ones that are on the earth today. But we will not walk in them if we will be people just like them. The Bible warns us about that. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then they go on to talk about how it devours its inhabitants. And in verse 33, there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak that came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Praise the Lord. So they're talking about how bad it is, right? So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. The same people that God led through the wilderness. The same people that God miraculously brought out of Egypt. You know when they came out of Egypt? The Egyptians were so happy to see them go that they were piling on gold and silver. They were giving them the best of everything as they were walking out. These same people. Amen? So they're crying out, and the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. They have gone so far in their misery that now they don't believe God for anything. And they say, oh, it would have just been better that we died in slavery. That's where God's people are. The people that were just led. You don't understand. You're not getting me because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus came to this earth. Yeah. 2,000 years ago. And he died for a group of people, you and me, hallelujah, so we can walk into things that even these people could not walk in. And yet the people, God's people today, they will not walk in even an ounce of what God has for them because they say, it's too big for me. It's too much for me. I can't do that. I can't obtain it. I can't do that. I can't be healed. I can't be well. I can't be better than I was. I can't be healed of depression. Come on now. This is exactly the same place. Every single time God's people are complaining, they're doing the same exact thing the Israelites are. And we were warned about it in Jude. Yeah. We're warned about it in other places through Scripture. He said, don't be like them for God's sakes. Praise the Lord. If we only had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? What was the word of the Lord? That our wives and children should become victims. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they want to go back to slavery. So they said to one another, let us select a leader. Oh, now they're going to do a coup. A coup d'etat. They're going to overthrow this government. Amen? That's what they're doing. They're saying, we're done with this Moses and Aaron. We're going to do our own thing now. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. Before all the assembly of the congregation, they had loved this. They're still pleading for God. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, whatever it is, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. They were so sad by this that they were weeping. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. It doesn't matter what the opposition is. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation sent to stone them with stones. They're going to stone them. You know, that hurts. You know, when you get stoned to death, that's what they wanted to do to their spiritual leaders here. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, where are we? Okay, yeah, they're stoned with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? Listen to this. And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Eventually, even God has enough. Eventually, God says, you know what? Enough's enough. You ain't going to listen? You're not going to do what I said? Fine, you have what you want. You want the devil? You have the devil. And that's why so many people are living with the devil. That's why so many of God's people are living without. He said, you want, that's what you want. And God's promises do not, they never have and they never will happen automatically. It's only by what we do, what we decide we're going to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And now we're going to pick it up in verse 20. So we see that Moses pled with God. Praise the Lord. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Praise the Lord. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. The one who said we can is the one who did. He's the one who got. Not the other ones, they didn't get nothing. They died in the wilderness. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? If you ain't walking with God, you can't go where he's going. If you want the blessing of God, you can't do it on your own. You've got to walk with the one who can get you there. Because you can't do it on your own. You don't draw one breath on your own accord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I want to see this. Hebrews 3. We want to see this in the New Testament. We want to see what it says about it. Because this is very important. This still applies today. You know, people, so often people want to reject the Old Testament. They say, well, it doesn't matter. But, the whole New Testament was written out of the Old Testament. They all read it based, that was the scripture they had to preach back then. When Paul and Peter were walking around, they didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. Yeah. Amen? But the New Testament was written based on the Old Testament. So we see here Hebrews 3, starting in verse 7 through 14. Praise God. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. It's referring to this time. In the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren. Now, this is important because this is connecting it to us. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of disbelief or unbelief in departing from the living God. God calls unbelief evil. That's what God calls it. Praise the Lord. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful, and those who live in it will continually be deceived by it, so much so that it'll get them right away from the plan of God. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Praise the Lord. God wants us to get somewhere, but we cannot get there if we won't go. God wants blessing for His people, but they will not walk in His blessing. Now, see, some people think that because Jesus came and died and paid the price that it alleviates them from all their doings. But this is the truth of the matter. Jesus coming and dying puts us in a greater place of what's that? Receiving, yeah. We are at a higher level. We are at a place that more is required of us. You remember the Bible says that as much has been given, much is required. Thank you. Hallelujah. Just had a moment there where I couldn't get that. But yeah, that's exactly what God is requiring a lot of His people. God wants us blessed, and we need to understand that God's blessing, Jesus paid the way so we can walk in God's blessing without hesitation, without hindrance. Yeah, Jesus made a way for us to defeat the devil. But more people are living defeated by the devil because they're not following the word of God. Because they're not getting in, because they don't understand what God is truly trying to do in them. See, God is doing, He's doing the same thing He always was. He just wants somebody who's willing to believe Him, who's willing to say, I'll go, I will step up, I'll walk into what God has. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. Churches that sit around and flour everything up, sugarcoating everything, making everything all just, you know, it's all, you know, all this and that. I'm not talking about fire and brimstone. Listen, we don't have to. I'm not trying to be a mean preacher. I'm not trying to look at you, yell at you, make you sad. I mean, some of you are looking at me like you're just the most unhappy person in the world, and I'm trying to set you free by the word of God today. Jesus wants to set you free by the word of God. You know, Christians need to learn to smile in church. Christians need to learn how to smile when they hear the word of God. When they need to learn how to say amen when the word sets them free. See, that's why a lot of people are sitting around in misery, because when they come, they hear the word, they're just, oh, it's so bad, it's so bad. What am I going to do? It's so bad. Stop and listen to what the preacher's saying. He's giving you the word to set you free. So stand up and be free. Hallelujah. Get into the word of God. Get it in you and say, you know what? I'm going on with God. I don't care what anyone else is doing. I'm going on with God. I don't care what the church down the road is doing. I'm going on with God because God wants me blessed. Hallelujah. God wants us blessed. Let's stop saying that God's a good God and start believing that God's a good God. See, because that's where so many people are at. It's easy to say God is so good all the time, but it's another thing to actually believe what you're saying. Yeah, because a good God doesn't hurt you. A good God isn't breaking you. A good God isn't tearing you down or ripping you apart or stealing from you or killing your babies or killing your grandmas or killing anybody else. You'll never see that in Scripture. You'll never see that in the Scripture. You never see this God doing that to His people. You see God. You will see God bringing punishment when people have disobeyed, but wouldn't you punish your kids if they disobeyed? And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. Why? Because there's got to be consequences to things. But when we teach people that there's no consequence, that you live any way you want, you do whatever you want to do, see, those are the people that will continually be bound. They're the ones that will always stay in the wilderness. They're the ones that will die in the wilderness, never knowing that God had something for them. I've had people, dear sweet people in my family, that have gone on to be with the Lord, that believed in God. But they also believed because some preacher taught them somewhere that God wanted them sick, or God was just, you know, there's just the trials of this life, and someday it'll all be over. They went through this life and they never experienced God's goodness because they didn't know about it. Because nobody taught them the word. And that's what we're here to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're here to teach the word. We want to set people free. We want to help people. Praise the Lord. I know some of you are thinking, like, when's he going to end? We're getting close. Amen. Romans 8:14. And this is the key here. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:14. I remember the first time I don't remember the exact date, but I remember the first time that I got light of the scripture. I remember how it changed me. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." The sons, you know, there's a lot of people claiming sonship. But sonship isn't what you claim. Sonship is what you do. Praise the Lord. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you have the right to be called a child of God. But see, there's people that aren't being led by the Spirit of God at all. They're doing what they want to do, and they're wondering why they're constantly in trial. I see good Christian people in our camp that are taught this stuff. I see it all the time. I saw it today. Good Christian people who do the same thing they always did, and they wonder why they always get what they always got. But you know, that's the truth. If you do what you always did, then you will have what you always got. You can't do something the same way over and over and over and expect it to be different. I remember I went through relationships like this, and I know other people do as well. But it's foolishness. If I had known the things I knew now, back then. Yeah. Because people go to get the same kind of person, the same kind of relationship over and over and over again. And they're surprised why they're sad. Or why they're upset. Sooner or later, you got to stop going around that tree. Sooner or later, you got to stop it. You say, wait a minute, something's got to be off. The Bible says that we are to bear good fruit and to bear much of it. Jesus said that if you're not bearing fruit, that you're going to be cut off because you're a branch that's grafted into the vine. If you're not bearing fruit, you're going to be cut off and thrown into the fire. That's what Jesus said. I said, that's what Jesus said. Hallelujah. Well, wouldn't a farmer do the same thing? If you planted crops, if you have an apple orchard and they're not, there's branches that are producing rotten apples, not that that would happen that way, but just for the sake of, you know, talk, that's what we'll say, you wouldn't keep that branch around, right? If you had one branch you knew that the worms just loved and they were just going to go after that branch, you cut it off. Why? Because it's not producing the good. It's the same thing with us. God wants us to produce. He intended us to produce. The produce wasn't just so that we could live in these McMansions and drive really nice cars. And I'm not saying God's against that stuff. What I'm saying is that's not what it's for. What I'm saying is God wants you blessed where you're at so you can be a blessing to the body of Christ. But people refuse to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God wants us helped. He wants us fixed. He wants us planted. He wants us hearing the word. He wants us hooked up to churches. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the ones that will prevail. Amen. These are the ones that will walk into what God has because they're being led. It means something to be led by the Spirit of God. It means something to find out what that is and how to do it. And that's exactly what we do. That's exactly what my pastor did with me. He took time. He taught me how to be led by the Spirit of God for myself. He taught me how to walk that path. And guess what? It works. It works every time. Because when the Spirit tells you to do something, it works out. There's no failure in the spirit realm. There's no. That's why God put His Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You know He did that when Jesus died for you, right? Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's my message. I'm sticking to it. Hope you got something tonight. I hope you were blessed. I hope you were helped. I know you were if you listened. Praise the Lord. And if you didn't, well, you can always re-listen to it and get blessed again. Amen. But God wants you helped. He wants you fixed. He wants us in the plan. He doesn't want us to abort the plan. Amen. The plan can be aborted. God is not willing that any should perish, but some will. Amen. But we're not going to be those that do it. Amen.